Welcome to the LeaderQuest podcast, episode 3. This week, we are talking morning routines and disciplines. Join us now as we dive right into this important conversation.
So one of the first respondents, I think it was the first one, from Ruan wanted to know, like, how do you balance it all when you have life and the kids? And I think she said a husband. I've never had that personal displeasure of knowing what a husband is like.
That's good. That's real good. You're on a good track list.
Keep that. But I do know, or I have learned a thing or two about work-life balance. So let me start with this. I was going to get all fancy and go buy a fish aquarium. And then and then this week happened. And so you're just going to have to visualize with me. So if you're watching this on Facebook Live as we're doing it, if you're watching this on YouTube here, remember, please like and share and subscribe and all of that stuff. Leave a comment, interact, so that I can continue to produce content that is relevant for you guys. But, so, if you're watching this, here is my aquarium, my little magical box aquarium. And the thing that helps me keep in perspective about work-life balance is understanding that if our life, right, is sort of represented in this aquarium, there is only a certain amount of space that we have for things. I suppose you could think of a box, right? We've got some bins here, right? You need a container. That is representative of your life and how we handle work-life balance.
Oh, that's what you needed the aquarium for. Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Talking
about? Yeah, now you know where this is going. Oh. So then for me, that helps with work-life balance, right? We've got this box, we've got this container, we've got this aquarium. The thing that allows you to get the most in is actually to start with the big rocks, right? That identifying in your life what the big rocks are, those big areas of this is where I want to invest significant time, significant influence, significant money, energy, vision, passion, whatever it is. Those big rocks have to go in first.
If you call me a big rock, I'm going to smack you.
She's my biggest rock,
y'all. Look at this big rock.
She's my BR.
Don't abbreviate it.
But, right, like, so, no, but I would say that family is, like, it's the big rock for me, right? Mm-hmm. In that my life forces, requires, gives me the opportunity to do lots of things, but it all, to a certain extent, has to revolve around family. My job, right, trying to build a business, is certainly another big rock. My own health and my fitness is another one. And then there are all of these things that, you know, maybe they're medium-sized rocks. They're not quite as important. But there are things that matter to me. Hobbies, quite honestly, I'd probably put in here. They're certainly not, like, if I have to choose between spending family time or spending hobby time, I'll choose family time.
Well, I think the biggest rock should also influence you the most.
Right, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Like, it's not just a priority thing. It's the way it treats you back.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
You having your family as the biggest rock or having your devotion to God be the biggest one.
Yes.
That is totally going to shape you in a healthy way.
Right. Right.
Rather than, you know, like, gaming.
Right.
Which I understand, like, can be important to people. And, like, that could be, like, their job, too. But I'm just saying.
And, right. And everybody needs to go through and kind of identify their own, you know, big rocks, for lack of a better term there. Mm-hmm. And then you gradually get smaller and smaller rocks. And so, you know, I would look at something like, yeah, I think a perfect example for us kind of staring into our backyard is the garden, mm-hmm. right? Like, you enjoy, to a certain degree, going out there and
working the soil.
Working the soil. Were you working it, girl? Right, working the, working the garden. You said that right as the pastor joined.
My girls are all like, no, Justin, don't do that again. Don't do it.
right, but like, you enjoy going out there and weeding in the garden and spending some of that time. That would, at least in terms of this analogy, be a slightly bigger rock for you than it would for me. I don't particularly enjoy that, right?
Yeah.
So back to the original question. How do you balance work and life and kids and family and job and spouses and all of that stuff? Guys, first and foremost, it's about priorities, right? It's about making sure that we keep those big rocks central. You know, they actually did there was this interesting study, and I know it's probably 20, 25 years old at this point in time, but they gave a group of researchers actually did this experiment. and here's an aquarium, here's a bunch of various sized rocks. How can you get the most amount of rocks in there? And I think, like, you know, the smart group was like Stanford MBA students or something. And they just started pouring in all of these small rocks, and then eventually they, like, ran out of room, and they couldn't fit all of the big rocks into the aquarium. Mm-hmm. And then they gave, like, the same example to kindergartners, and the kindergartners put the big rocks in first, and then the medium-sized rocks, and then filled it in with all the tiny little pebbles. And lo and behold, everything fits, right? When you mm-hmm. have priority, everything fits. And our life gets out of balance when all of a sudden we start giving more time than we should mm-hmm. to little rocks. So, you know, I think back to your gaming example. I can look for somebody like me. I don't have an issue playing a video game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm very careful how that gets scheduled into my time.
Yeah.
Right? An hour once a month is not going to derail me from pursuing my goals.
Yeah.
But if I were to take 24 hours a week and start to play video games every waking second when I should be working, that starts to get out of whack for yeah. me, right?
Well, like when I, it's funny because every Sunday morning, like if I'm at church and it comes at my phone at the exact same time, it says, your phone usage has gone up. Is it like by 70%? And then every time I look at my phone, I'm like, you lie. And then you put it down. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't possibly be spending that much time on my phone, but I do.
Yeah. I posted on Instagram a few times. I actually took a screenshot of that to talk about priorities.
Yeah.
And I think that week I'd spent like 13 hours on social media, was kind of how it termed it. And like 12 hours and 59 minutes of that was Instagram.
And I need one that says congratulations, you spent, you know, up to your 29% time with your wife.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, I spent 13 hours on Instagram in 1 week.
Oh, yeah.
There is an important part where that is a part of my business.
Right.
And then it just becomes excessive, wasteless scrolling
right.
that detracts from some of the things that I can do.
And you know what else? You know, it's a sign. I'll say that we could make a list of signs that things are out of balance, is that people around you are irritated with you.
Yeah.
But like a lot of us, like myself included, I get all up in arms if someone's like, well, you're probably doing this too much. Like I get, well, okay, it's probably you. If you tell me that I'm doing something, I'm going to get really offended. But, I mean, this is kind of a time where we can just say, well, is it true?
And I think that's a great point. Sometimes it's okay to be offended.
Yeah.
Like, we've developed this fear in our culture of both offending and being offended, and have, I think, legitimately lost ways in which an offense, right, pain, hurt, mm-hmm. can actually be a sign that something's wrong.
Yeah.
And so if I am offended mm-hmm. by your uncontrollable social media use, but I don't ever actually share anything, like, then I'm just carrying around this hurt in my life that I can't actually reconcile.
Yeah.
And at some measure, if I actually love and respect you, I should, quote unquote, offend you so that we can both be offended together, mm-hmm. but then figure out how to reprioritize. Hey, I think you've made Instagram a little bit too big of a rock in your life. Would you please put me higher? Then that, right, like that's actually healthy communication. There are healthy ways to offend people in which you can bring about reconciliation and trust and deeper, more meaningful, more significant relationships.
Yeah. You can start with I felt like blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
You've made me feel this way.
Correct. Great. So there's that. And, you know, there were a couple other, I think, follow-up comments on just, how do you, when you're trying to work up the corporate business ladder, or you're trying to gain careers or advancements or promotions or whatever, mm-hmm. that certainly requires more time, how do you keep that balance?
Yeah.
Because this is what I'll keep circling around to. I think you should, right? Maybe work as when you are career advancing will, to some degree, need to take up a bit more of your time. It is becoming a bigger rock, but it becomes unhealthy when you allow it to become bigger than it should.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I'll share this, I think, purely as a healthy example, because like it illustrates well, and I'm not bothered by it at all. But like, I grew up in middle farm town Kansas, where baseball season coincided with harvest season, and there were many times where my dad wasn't at my baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
Because work in the middle of summer, when you have to get the wheat harvest done, has to be a big rock.
Right.
But on the flip side, my dad was probably around more in the winter than the average dad.
Right.
Because work had slowed down.
Right.
Right, you know, and so...
He had that vision, though.
Right.
Like, he knew it.
So I could kind of like, I could be in Green Bay, and my dad never came to my baseball games. But, you know, he was at every single one of my wrestling meets.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in the winter, and it was slower. Like,
and you were better at wrestling.
And I was better at wrestling and baseball, more passionate about it, and I did it longer. And
your baseball games just weren't that interesting.
I mean, yeah.
I'm joking.
Thanks. Love you.
Know. I've never seen you play. I don't know.
Right. So, like, I can't be angry and bitter that Dad's job in the summertime had to be a bigger rock. That was what paid the bills for me to go play baseball, right? Was Dad working 80, 90-hour work weeks in the middle of harvest.
Right.
And then when he had some time, he'd help me practice catch, or, you know, he'd come to the wrestling meets, or he helped create all of the breakfasts after we made weigh-in and all that stuff, right? So,
yeah.
So there's certainly cycles and rhythms to life. And so maybe that's like the next transition here is talking about those seasons, right?
Well, certainly staying in one season too long, you're going to have burnout. Like, if I love fall, like, I love everything. Pumpkins, pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin colors.
I was in Costco the other day. They are already pulling out their long sleeve gear, even though Bakersfield was 103.
that's so bad.
Bakersfield was 103 degrees.
And you know what?
And they're pulling out long sleeve gear.
And I was that kid in high school. I'm like, my parents bought me winter clothes, and I'm going to wear them because they're cute. And it was, you know, like sweating on the field and marching band. Worth it.
So, fall
anyway,
is coming.
Fall is coming. But if I'm in fall for too long, you get burned out from it.
Yeah.
You right. do. Everyone right. around you. Like, it's. It spoils.
Yeah.
It spoils. Spoils everything around it. Like a rotting piece of flesh that you feed to an alligator. You know how they like stinky
meat?
Yeah. Sorry. Too far.
No.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So there's certainly, like, life has seasons. Life has rhythms to it that we need to be aware of. Which is why, I mean, I think this is the perfect topic for this week because of everything that's gone in our life.
Yeah.
Right? So your sister was in town. That threw off our sort of quote-unquote normal summer schedule. I made a very significant transition in my job this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That, like, in and of itself would have been enough. And yet on top of that, I get a call from our contractor who is back from vacation and says, we're laying subfloor this week.
Which, hey.
Oh, great news,
great
right?
Great news.
We have been waiting for that for 2 months. So I'm thrilled to get that text message.
Yeah.
And yet on the week where you were gone most of the time and my job is taking on some drastically different directions. Okay. So I think like Wednesday night. No. When is the first night? Yeah, Wednesday night. Tuesday night we laid subfloor we laid all of the braces till
mm-hmm.
what?
Right.
8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday it was midnight. And then on Thursday it was 11 o'clock. And as a person that starts work at 5 a.m., I'm certainly not used to working actively physical labor until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then still waking up at 5 a.m., still doing all of my normal work stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then coming home and doing this.
Yeah.
And then I worked Saturday
right.
for what? We were in there 8 hours yesterday getting the closet framed and getting the electrical wiring run and getting the insulation put in.
And going to Home Depot 6 times.
8.
Sorry.
Who's counting?
Hey, is the front door locked?
I don't know. We might not have kids, y'all.
We're like work-life balance. We just lost a kid.
We've got 4.
Hold on.
That's a fair one.
You keep going.
Right? And so the length of work that I tend to work a lot anyway and work very hard. And now it just went up, you know, and then put in 8 or 9 hours yesterday. And we put in another 6 today. And I've almost got my bathroom back. Yay, progress. But, right, like... Elise's schedule changed, my schedule changed, and then we had all these additional things. And so life as a busy season just sort of happened this week in that where I might normally try to have some semblance of balance and work for 45, 50 hours out of the week, I probably work closer to 90 this week. Haven't had a day off since last Friday-ish. Right, so it's been 8 straight work days, and I go back to work tomorrow, because that's just like, you know, so like this 2 weeks has very much been a sprint, and probably honestly will be till the bathroom's actually completely finished, because the shower still needs to go in, and once that comes in, like, the drywallers will have to come back and finish. And like, life has seasons and rhythms. What I can tell you is two things. Number one, that's okay. But number two, it is not sustainable and it's not healthy. I could not keep a 90-hour work week up for 6 months.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't keep it up for 3 months. I might be able on good months to be able to do it for 1 month. But we were talking even this week before we were going to know how crazy this week was going to be, that looking at my schedule, I told Lisa, like, this pace is not sustainable for 3 months, because what will happen is I will keep this pace for 3 months, but then I need 1 month off to recover, right? What I should actually do is find a rhythm that I could say I could actually keep this pace for 30 years mm-hmm. of work life. Mm-hmm. So thinking back to those, you know, rock metaphors, the bathroom has become a bigger rock this week where we tried to finish the remodeling. But then we've already established that once the bathroom is done, like, we're done remodeling for a couple of months. It has to become a small rock because we don't have time to keep living in a construction zone and to keep the next plan up and to I certainly don't have the budget for it, right? Like, yeah. Remodeling things out of pocket is expensive.
Quite honestly, if there was just a toilet in there, I would be happy.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be nice to have a bathroom in this house. I mean, the kids don't frequent. I'll miss taking a shower with all of the crabs and whales and sea lions and everything that hover around my feet.
I was like, crabs?
But,
oh, the toys,
the
yes.
The toys, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, so like, there's certainly sprints and recovery periods to life, but I think much more important is to create a life that is sustainable for the long haul. There's certainly areas where you're going to say, I need to sprint this week or this 2 weeks or this month. But much more important, and this is what we talked about on Saturday, so we'll circle around here as we try to wrap this up. Saturday, the live video was all about those sprints and all about those rhythms of life and being able to create the discipline, right? So I talked about my morning routine on Saturday. And one of the things that I am doing to create a morning routine that creates a sustainable life for me is going to be an important facet of how I continue to grow over the next 3 months. And so I said that I would be creating this challenge and this discipline to identify my morning routine. I'm not there yet. I'll do probably another quick post once I have that short up, because this bathroom kind of skyrocketed to the top of the priority list. So my promise to you this week, listening audience, Elise, yes. Family, is that I will create a healthy, sustainable morning ritual that is something I can envision for the next 35, 40 years of my work career.
Which means you have to, like, it can't be this staunch, weird one. Like, it has to be enjoyable for you. Like, that you look forward to waking up because
I get to drink coffee, right? Like, honestly, sometimes I go to bed.
Yeah.
Because then when I wake up,
yeah,
I get to drink coffee.
Right. That's how I felt after my nap today.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you want to take a part of that challenge, I mean, it's not like an official challenge, right? There's no like sign up or link or accountability. But if that's something that interests you, if what we have talked about today has been helpful or beneficial to you, in addition to liking and subscribing and sharing and all of those things, just comment that you want to work towards creating a sustainable, healthy morning routine. We'll tackle what to do for your workday, and we'll tackle what to do for your lunchtime, and we'll talk about evening routine and workday and shutdown routines and vacation and all of that stuff. We'll get to all of that stuff. We're not going to overburden ourselves and try to like change 1,000 things, right? And so my background the last couple of years in fitness has taught me, when clients come to me and want to make this change, the easiest way to do it is to start small. You know, so honestly, I tell people, like, you're working out with me 3 times a week. For the first month, that's the only thing you're going to change. Don't change your diet. Don't track your food. Don't work out by yourself. 3 days a week with me. And once you've done that for a month, then we'll see if you can work out 1 or 2 days by yourself, or we'll start tracking your food, or we'll start, right? Like, mm-hmm. one sustainable habit change at a time mm-hmm. builds momentum, builds discipline, and leads to long-term success. So it's the same sort of thing right here. You might identify in your life that you have some rocks that are massively out of place, and you have filled your life with tiny little pebbles. We will get to all of those, but right now, let's create one foundational habit and discipline and structure change, and that is our morning routine. When you wake up, what are the 3 to 5 things that you want to do to orient yourself to success for the rest of the day? We'll tackle the rest of the day in upcoming podcasts, but right now, can you say, I will wake up at, like, for me, it is 4:15 a.m. Mm-hmm. I will wake up at 4:15 a.m. and do this from 4:15 to 5 and from 5 to 5:30, like, right, like whatever it is. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's reading the morning newspaper. Just a hint, it's probably not scrolling on social media. Maybe it's reading scripture. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's exercising, right? Like whatever it is, can you identify 3 to 5 habits of, I will wake up at this time, I will engage in these 3 to 5 activities, and then I will transition to the next portion of my day. That's where we're starting here.
Well, I was just thinking, I don't want people to shame themselves. If you can identify that you are having some unhealthy work-life balance, the first step is definitely not to shame yourself.
Right.
And be like,
yeah,
I am so out, and this is not, like, because then you're just going to, that fear is going to build up in really unhealthy ways, manifest unhealthy ways.
Yeah, that's a good word. You're so smart.
Mm. Yeah, baby, it's all those therapists I've seen.
Shout out to great therapists.
That's right.
We both had a couple of them.
They've got a special place in this world for a lot of people. Yep. People need to hear that over and over again.
Yeah.
But do not shame
yourself. We should talk shame sometime. That's powerful.
Shame is a powerful thing.
Shame is a powerful thing. We'll talk shame someday. But anyway, we're not talking shame today. We're wrapping this up. We try to keep it about 30 minutes. We are getting close to that. So, Elise, some final thoughts on work-life balance for you as a mom, right? Like, yours is going to look different than mine. So I'll share some of maybe my concluding thoughts in a second as a work man.
Ooh.
But, like, you work too, right? Like, so no joke, people have been hopping on and off. People always want to know, what does your wife do? I will unashamedly say my wife has the hard job when they ask what my wife does. I go to work, like, I hang out with people and we talk problems and create visions and plans and dreams for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. It's really kind of easy. I mean, you know, like, it's hard work, right? But, like,
right.
You, no joke, shout out to all the stay-at-home parents out there. You have the hard job. Whatever it is your spouse does, you have the hard job. So,
hey, Isaac.
What's up, Isaac? Thank you for joining us. So, Elise, concluding thoughts.
Yeah.
On work-life balance as a stay-at-home, hard-working parent, right? Because it's not an easy job. It's not like you just sit there and watch Hallmark all day. Or do you? Or don't tell me if you do.
I'm assuming
you don't.
I'd like to.
Yeah. So as a stay-at-home working parent that has the hard job, give us your concluding thoughts on work-life balance, what that looks like for you.
Gosh, I mean, the big rocks are definitely... What I really want, I mean, if I'm just very honest here, my big box is that I want to love God in the big rocks.
Yeah.
And I struggle with how to do that authentically, and I want to do that with my kids, because if I'm following God, but I'm still super impatient with my kids, like, I think that's why I go to my phone and retreat to it, and... So I want to identify my phone as kind of like an idol, and it takes up and it takes me away from the things that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, like, some days it's serving you. It's making sure that you have everything you need for the day. And that's something that is hard for me to do, but I want to do it because I love you.
Yeah.
But if I'm getting distracted by these other side things and making those too big of rocks, like my time right now.
Right.
My time, right. my bit rocks get bigger with the time that I spend on it. So I just need to put away the things that just don't matter.
Yeah.
They don't matter. It's like an obsessive checking thing. And, like, it's a way that my personality as a 9 likes to just check out.
Yeah.
And I want to check that. I want to be actively engaged in focusing on the things that I love. And that's you. And I'm trying to, you know, actively engaged and love God and my children and be good to them. And also myself, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
Play the guitar, hone in on that skill. And it does. It takes extra energy. I'm like, those are my things. And I can think of a couple more that I'm dropping right now, but like, I'd like to just, I mean, it's going to take some thinking time.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Great. Isaac knows, he says it's true. Stay-at-home parents have a tough job.
Yeah.
The day is full.
Yeah, it is.
Hey,
you know what? Your wife brings me fantastic chocolate bars to help me with my day. Amazing. Symphony bars. Someone said it was, my sister said it was an old lady chocolate bar.
You don't know how fitting that is if you don't know these. But.
I am an old lady. Okay, I am.
LCO over here. So when we were first married, she went to the bank and quick story before we wrap this up. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
She went to the bank and deposited my check. Now, mind you, I'm part-time youth pastor in Middle Kansas. I didn't make a lot. So she deposits this check, and they said, here you go, Elsie, here's your bank report. And that thing had...
It was like...
Two commas in it?
Yeah,
it was just a lot. had two commas in it. That was not our bank account. They accidentally deposited like my $700 into Elsie's account instead of Elise's account. So, there you go.
Not an old lady. I am an old lady.
Or,
I'm an old soul.
You're my old lady.
Okay, I say we wrap this up by making out at the end.
Oh, dear.
Woo! No?
Everybody on the audio version will enjoy that.
Oh.
No. Not people on the video version will either.
No.
No one will enjoy that. Okay, so concluding thoughts. For you, it's just remembering what those big priorities are and being able to identify some of the things that pull you away.
Yeah. Yep.
For me, I would say this. I was listening to Angela Duckworth's book, Grit, earlier on audio. And she was talking about how we can have, she was talking about rings, but to continue our example, I think we could talk about rocks. She says it's okay to actually have two or three of those. But sometimes you have to realize how maybe sometimes they, like, you can identify those when you can't continue to ask why is that important, because it just is. Right? So, like, both my family and my business are important. And it's not necessarily that they need to compete with each other, but maybe the trick is finding ways in which I can, through harmonious or symbiotic relationships, create a pathway to fulfill both of those big rocks in my life. So, for us, my job requires me to travel a lot. Mm-hmm. Are there ways in which you guys could travel with me?
Yeah.
Now we can spend car time together, talking, laughing, singing, playing a game, whatever. And I can go get work done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so all of a sudden, I mean, I put, 3,500 miles on a car last month. Yeah. That's a lot of, if I have to do it alone, that's a lot of alone time, which I prioritize and, listen to podcasts and audiobooks and whatever. But that also only fulfills, even if I do that, still only fulfills one rock, right?
Yeah.
My business or my self-care or my personal development plan. But if I can find a way to fulfill multiple of those, I'm going to drive to work and get to bring my family along. Now all of a sudden, both big rocks are being filled at once. Are being honored at once. For me, it would continue to say, if I have a healthy work-life balance, sometimes the correct answer is not necessarily like, I need to neglect my work so that I can go enjoy my family.
Yeah.
Because work has to be attended to, right?
Right.
If you value things like indoor plumbing,
yeah,
I have to work.
Yeah.
I also can't say, work is my big rock, I'm going to go ignore my family, because someday I will look up and have a fantastic job and no family to enjoy it, because you guys will get fed up. Like, hey, my dad's super rich, but he was a jerk. It's not an avenue I'm willing to travel down.
You know what? I was watching a Hallmark movie about that the other day.
My people call me Mr. Hallmark.
Mm.
Right? So let's wrap this up. In your life, right? So for Elise, it was, can you identify what those big rocks are and maybe some ways to prioritize them? For me, it's, once you know what those rocks are, can you find ways to maybe fulfill multiple values at the same time, work and family, right? Maybe instead of sitting in the car listening to the radio, call somebody that you want to nurture that relationship with. Hey, I'm stuck in the car for 20 minutes. And you and I just have a conversation because I want to talk to you, but it's the only time it's going to happen today.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not a selfish or negative request. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there are my thoughts. Look at that. We're barreling past us. Let's see. We've got a few comments.
Not the image I was hoping for before.
I'm assuming he's referring to your off-color comment.
Mom,
about...
What was off-color about making out with me?
All right. Let's wrap this up.
I think
thank you, everybody,
have a
for joining us. You should.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on LeaderQuest Podcast Episode 3, live on the Facebook It's going up on YouTube shortly. It will be on the blog, on the website, justinhuber.com, on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Please like, please share, please subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you want to see up next. Guys, we are going to make this entirely stuff designed to help you succeed in all areas of life. Mm-hmm. So we covered work-life balance today. We talked about morning routines because that is what you guys have requested. We will continue to make viewer-driven podcasts. Mm-hmm. So let us know what you want to see covered. But with that, she's Elise. I'm Justin. This is LeaderQuest Podcast episode 3. We will see you guys next time.
This has been the LeaderQuest Podcast with your host, Justin Hebert. Music by Kayani. Join us next time.